Let us commence our service this evening by singing together hymn number 1152. The tune is Billing 849. Fountain of mercy, God of love, how rich thy bounties are. The rolling seasons as they move proclaim thy constant care. Hymn 1152.
From God's holy word, the first epistle of Peter, chapter 2. The first epistle of Peter, chapter 2. Wherefore, laying aside all malice, and all guile, and hypocrisies, and envies, and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming, as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, an holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offence, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvellous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that, whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honour all men. Love the brotherhood. Fear God, honour the King. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward, for this is thankworthy. If a man, for conscience toward God, endure grief, suffering wrongfully, for what glory is it, if, when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if, when ye do well, and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the bishop, unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. May God bless that reading of his holy word to us. May he help us in prayer. Most kind and gracious and most merciful Lord God in heaven, once more we gather around thy word. And O Lord, we do pray that thy gracious presence may be with us this evening. We do pray that it may be like those disciples, the doors being shut, Jesus himself stood in the midst and said, "Peace be unto you." Oh, we do pray that we each may hear thy voice this evening. Lord, thou knowest how we've come, and Lord, thou knowest what we need. And a different word may be needed for different people. But oh, we do pray that as we leave thy house this evening, that none may go empty away. But Lord, that thou would use thy word and fit it to meet each case here this evening. Lord, we do pray that thou would bless us indeed. Oh, that thou would pour out that spirit of grace and of supplications. Oh, that we may be led by faith to Calvary, and there to see mercy streams in streams of blood. Oh, that we may be found as sinners at thy feet, pleading that name which is above every name. Pray, Lord, that thou would lead us by thy grace to turn out the tents of our hearts, not as Achan in the valley of Achor, at the feet of Joshua, but at the feet of Jesus. Joshua with no room to pardon, no way of pardon, the law having no mercy in it. Oh, but as sinners at the feet of Jesus, emptying the tents of our hearts, and there finding forgiveness. Oh, that pardon, that peace, that liberty. Lord Jesus, do come then and touch our hearts with a sense of pardoned sin, with love, with blood. Oh, we do pray that none of us may be left to stand in our own righteousnesses, which are as filthy rags. None of us may be found with that prayer of the Pharisee, thanking God for not being like others. Oh, but may our simple prayer be, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And oh, may we know that peace which passeth all understanding. And Lord, may we know what it is as a pardoned sinner, to fail in words to express gratitude for redeeming love. Lord, what can we render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward us? We would thank thee for all that thou hast done. And Lord, we do pray that each one of us may know that song of redemption in our hearts, to be able to sing as those children born of God, set free by the grace of God. Lord, we do pray then that light, life and liberty might be given, and that those who have not yet been granted that unspeakable mercy of knowing their sins forgiven, yet may they go on. May they go on to know, to prove that thou art merciful. So, Lord, leave none of us out, and pass us not by. And those that we know and love, those that are connected to us, we cannot bear that piercing thought. What if our or their names should be left out when now for them dost call? Oh, do prevent it by thy grace. Lord, have mercy. And do encourage those of us who have loved ones who have seemingly gone off into a far off country spiritually. Those, Lord, who no longer are found under the preaching of thy word. Those, Lord, who appear to be walking dead in trespasses and in sins. Oh, may it please thee to call them by grace, to awaken them to see their danger. And, Lord, who bring them back. Oh, may they be found returning to the Father's house. Lord, do encourage us as we continue to pray for them. Oh, may there be that spirit of wrestling prayer with us. And though we wait, may we prove not to wait in vain. May we continue to smite our arrows on the ground and not stay our hand. And give thee no rest, Lord, until thou dost appear for them. For returning prodigals shall find that though their base, their father's kind. So Lord, do remember them and bless them. And remember each here, the various causes of truth, the dear pastor of this cause, the pastor of Staplehurst turned in with us this evening, and others, Lord, gathered from various causes. Lord, we pray for this place and each of the causes of truth up and down our land and throughout the world. Lord, thou knowest where they are, who they are, and we affectionately commend them into thy hand and pray that thou bless them and help them and strengthen them. And Lord, we do pray that in the day in which we live, when so much abounds to distress us and to dismay us, that Lord, we may know those sweet encouragements, those tokens for good, those evidences of thy work amongst us. May we know the outpouring of thy Spirit. May we know, Lord, in this rising generation, a turning unto thee. And remember those, Lord, in older generations who naturally are in age nearing the end of their journey. Lord, remember them. Oh, we pray, pass none by. And may not a hoof be left behind. And Lord, do so work in each heart And Lord, do encourage thy servants. Lord, we pray that there may be the signs following the preaching of the word. And as we have the collections today for the Christian Institute, we commend them into thy hand, that work in which they undertake, and pray that thou wilt constrain hearts to support them financially and in other ways, but above all in prayer, upholding them in prayer, bearing them up, that they may be enabled to continue to stand despite all the opposition which they face. Lord, we pray that thou wilt encourage. So do, Lord, strengthen the hand of each. Be with each as they venture out into the world. We do pray that we may be kept by thy grace. We may not bring reproach on thy holy name. We may know thy gracious hand guiding us, leading us, thy spirit's prompting within, and to be strengthened in our resolve. And O Lord, do give us faith, more faith, living faith, that faith, Lord, which shows forth as fruit in our works and in our lives. Not, Lord, that we would claim anything from our works, oh, but that those works may flow through love to the Saviour. We pray, Lord, for those involved with publishing and distributing godly literature. We think of the Trinitarian Bible Society. We think of other organisations who seek to publish thy word and godly literature throughout the earth. We pray that it may be owned and blessed by thee. Thy word shall not return to thee void, but it will accomplish that which thou dost please, and prosper in the thing whereto thou dost send it. And so, Lord, we commend the services that are sent forth over the internet. We thank thee, Lord, for that provision and that use of the internet, and pray, Lord, thy blessing upon it. Lord, we testify here this evening it has been used for the good of souls. May it please thee to continue. Oh, we seek thy spirit even here this evening to take of the things of Jesus, reveal them unto men, that thy word may, though it be delivered in weakness, that it may be in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. So do help us, we pray. There are so many things for us to thank thee for, the multitude of thy mercies which daily we receive, the intertwining of providence and grace. Oh, we thank thee, Lord, that thou dost notice and deal with thy people. Oh, we thank thee, Lord, that thou dost lead and keep and guide them. Do, Lord, fill us with that love which casts out fear. Oh, we pray that the love of Christ may be flowing in our hearts this evening. And though we have many providential things to thank thee for, not least the gathering in of another harvest, yet, Lord, may we each have spiritual blessings to praise thee for. O Lord, do make us glad through thy appearing. Do touch our hearts with love divine. And, Lord, may all the glory be to thy holy name. Do remember us each as we leave thy house this evening. Take not thy Holy Spirit from us. Grant journey mercies both now and in that greater journey of life, however long or short it may be. whatever scenes we may be led through. O Lord, do land us each safe in heaven above, to sing thy praises, to truly praise thee as we desire and as we ought. We ask all these things with the pardon of every sin, for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Let us now sing together hymn number 563. The tune is Cedar 900. Come, thou now exalted Saviour, bless us with a solemn frame. Teach us now, henceforth, forever, to adore thy precious name. Lovely Jesus, never let us stray again. Hymn 563.
turn with me to the chapter we read, the first epistle of Peter, chapter 2. And with the Lord's help this evening, I'll speak to you from the 9th verse. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvellous light. First Epistle of Peter, chapter 2, and the 9th verse. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvellous light. Be a wonderful thing if this evening that this could be said of each one of us, but ye. It's a solemn thing that for many this evening, hopefully, we've prayerfully none in this chapel, but in the world this evening, that there are those that are described in verse 7, but unto them which be disobedient, unto you therefore which believe, he's precious, but unto them which be disobedient. There are two parts, aren't there, to this. Oh, there's those whom Christ has made precious. And then there are those whom Christ is a stumbling block. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, a stone of stumbling, a rock of offence. Yeah, are there those here this evening? It's a Thanksgiving service, isn't it? And are you thankful that, oh, Christ, who was a stone of stumbling to you, who once was a rock of offence to you, oh, by grace of God, you say this evening, oh, you thank him because he's now precious to you. Oh, your heart lifts unto you, therefore, which believe he is precious. That which was a stumbling stone to you, that which was an offence. You know, it's an offence to sinners to be told they're sinners. And it was an offence to us when the Lord showed us we were coming short in all that we were doing, and that what we were doing was wrong. These things are an offence. And the flesh doesn't like it. And the flesh wars against it. But are you thankful this evening for reigning triumphant grace? Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Is that the spirit of thanksgiving for you and me this evening? Oh, you thank him and praise him for redeeming love and blood. But ye, another but ye, are a chosen generation. You didn't choose him. We love him because he first loved us. You've got to confess it this evening. You'd have never chosen him. The choice was yours. You'd have always made the wrong choice. You could never make the right choice. You see it now. You're fallen by nature. You're dead in trespasses and in sins by nature. And always, always you'd have made the wrong choice. But you thank him this evening that the choice was made for you. He chose you. Oh, do you thank him for it? that he chose you. Despite all your sin, he saw you ruined in the fall, yet loved you, notwithstanding all. Oh, why? Why, said Ruth to Boaz, shouldest thou take notice of me, seeing I am a stranger? But you're thankful that he did. Oh, you fall at his feet. You worship him this evening. But ye are a chosen generation. Peter's taking words from Exodus chapter 19. In chapter 19, verse 6, well, the sum and substance of this verse in Peter's epistle is summed up really in verses 5 and 6, which has spoken to the chosen people. Now, therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. For all the earth is mine, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And Peter, in substance, takes these, and he speaks them under the influence of the Holy Spirit, under the authority of God, to the Israel of God, the true Israel, the true Israel. But ye are a chosen generation. You know, the children of Israel were, as a nation, a chosen people. They had the outward blessings of being that chosen nation, that the Lord, having chosen just that nation out of all the nations of the earth, and there, in them, he showed his marvellous power to deliver from the slavery and bondage in Egypt, in delivering them from the hands of Pharaoh and bringing them into that promised land. And he took that nation and in covenant with them, there was that outward choosing. But oh, you know, here in the essence of the glorious gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, Peter sets this forth as the true Israel of God. The Lord has a people from every kindred, tribe and tongue, throughout all ages, from Adam to the end of time. And Paul writes, not all Israel is Israel, but the true Israel, the gathering in of the true Israel, it's Jew and it's Gentile. It's those who are brought by grace to lay all their hope of heaven entirely in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ, to look to him, to seek after him, to look to him, to look away from self, and to trust entirely on the sin-atoning death and sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the true Israelite in the Old Testament times saw Christ revealed in that shadowy types in the law. He saw Christ revealed in all those ordinances and sacrifices and ceremonies. And the true Israel in our day, oh, they look back by faith and see that promise fulfilled, all those types and shadows wonderfully taken by the Lord Jesus Christ and fulfilled in him. Ye are chosen generation, chosen of God, chosen before the foundation of the world, chosen to show forth his praise. Isaiah again emphasizes this in chapter 43. This people, verse 21, this people have I formed for myself. Formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. Oh, there then, this chosen generation. They're chosen to show forth his praise. And how? In what way? Well, it's in that wonderful display of salvation through grace. It's in that witness of the work of the Holy Spirit within them. It's as in their lives, though born dead in trespasses and in sins, by the grace of God, that there's a point in their lives when they're brought to turn to him, that they're brought to flee from those things that they once did, that they're brought by grace to look to the Lord Jesus, that they undergo, they experience that new birth within. The Holy Spirit working in their hearts, and they show forth his praise in that a change, a conversion in their lives, where they are turned, their feet are turned, and they're brought to walk on that straight and narrow way. And ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord. Oh, to show forth my power to save. To show forth my power to save. And that power of that precious blood. The power of that sin atoning death. The Lord choosing whom he will in that covenant of grace. Choosing whom he will for his honour. And for his glory. But ye are a chosen generation. What a wonderful thing if you and I can trace out some of the evidence of this in our little lives. Can you look back with a thankful heart this evening to when the Lord touched your heart? When you first felt some movement in your heart toward him? Well, maybe the first tracing out you can thank him for this evening is the conviction of sin in your heart. Or maybe the first thing you can trace out this evening is a touch of his love. Oh, but can you trace something out? Something that you are persuaded that it was by God's grace. You know, if you're walking, if you're experiencing at this very moment the work of the Holy Spirit, beloved friends, you won't perceive it. You won't be able to trace it out as being that. You know, it's looking back. It's looking back. You know, the Holy Spirit, how he operates in that way. He doesn't speak of himself. It's that silent work. But there's an effect of it. It's like the dew coming down at night. You can't perceive it. You can't see it. But in the morning you see the effect of it. The evidence of it. And there the work of the Spirit. So this evening, looking back, you thank him for that work. At the time you couldn't perceive it. You experienced various things. You felt various things. You were moved in various ways. Sometimes your circumstances were moved by an unseen hand. A door was hedged up. A door was shut. A distress was put upon you. Something was done. And now you see it has been his work. Why? Brought you to his feet. Brought you to the Lord Jesus. Caused you to call on him. calls you to pray unto him. Oh, can you thank him this evening? Can you trace out these evidences? You know, the Lord, he chooses. The Lord, he calls. In that bringing his people out of nature's darkness, well, at times it feels harsh, particularly under the conviction of sin, when pride is being removed, when people are being brought down, when they've been laid low in the dust, when you've been emptied, there's that feeling, that sense at the time, the flesh doesn't like it, the flesh kicks against it. And it doesn't feel anything like love. But you know, beloved friends, the Lord's dealings is all with his people, with his chosen generation. They're all moved in love. He may force you to his feet in prayer. It's a sad testimony that we need it, but we do sometimes. He may force you to his feet in prayer, but it's love. It's love. Oh, and he doesn't drive his people. He leads his people. He leads. He's that good shepherd. He goes on before. And he calls his people to follow him. He doesn't drive them from behind. He calls them. But ye are a chosen generation. And Peter says, a royal priesthood. What does this mean, a royal priesthood? Well, he touches on it in verse 5. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, and holy priesthood. And a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ, a royal priesthood. Oh, you see, his dear people, they're made by him, through him, this royal priesthood. Their lives are to be. Well, they're priests, aren't they? They're priests. They're to offer up spiritual sacrifices. They're to give their lives as a living sacrifice unto him, through him, by Jesus Christ. And they offer up spiritual sacrifices. Their life is one. What about their broken heart? What about their broken heart? Offered up that sweet smelling savour. Oh, what a sweet smelling savour it is to God when a broken and a contrite heart is laying at the feet of Jesus. Oh, what a sweet smelling savour ascends up a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices, to lay by faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the way. He enables them. He's that, like that altar whereby they may lay on, in this act of a priesthood, lay on him. Oh, a broken and a contrite heart to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Christ Jesus. Oh, it's only through him. It's only by him. It must be him and him only. There is only acceptation in Christ Jesus. But these chosen generation, oh, they're in their lives, in this act of showing forth his praise, it is by those spiritual sacrifices. They give their lives. They give their lives as a living sacrifice to him. You know, I thought a lot of this, you know, this thanksgiving with today in mind, you know, that the world can pass through tribulations, and well, they're relieved, they're thankful when they're over. But this chosen generation, not only are they thankful when they're over, but you know, with them there's a nevertheless afterward. It yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness to them to exercise thereby. How many times you've heard the Lord's dear children thank him for the bed of affliction? Have you? Are there those here this evening? I'm persuaded there are. And you thank him now, not at the time. Is that nevertheless afterward? Having been brought through, maybe there was a time of blessing on that bed. Oh, but you thank him. It has been good for me to be afflicted. Who can say that? Oh, this chosen generation, this royal priesthood, this holy nation, this peculiar people. Oh, doesn't that set apart from the world this evening those who are this peculiar people, that in the affliction and after the affliction, or in that trial or after that trial, oh, they can look back, and it's look back with thanks. You can honestly say this evening, I'm better off now than I was then. Why? I know him more now than I did then. I know more of myself now than I did then. I've learned more of my own frailty through this than I did then. I see the Lord's love in it. At the time, maybe I couldn't see a need for it. Oh, but now, oh, my mouth is in the dust. Like Job, wherefore I abhor myself. You say, oh, I have heard of him by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee, wherefore I abhor myself. Oh, this peculiar people. But we're getting a little ahead, because there's this royal priesthood, oh, made kings and priests to God. In the first book of Revelation, chapter 1, we have the opening few verses. Verse 5, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and this is it, and hath made us through that washing in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen. Oh, this Jesus Christ, unto him that loved us and washed us and from our sins in his own blood, and he made us kings in doing so. In washing away all the filth and the sins of his church, he made them holy and unblameable and unreprovable in the sight of his Father, in the sight of God. He made us kings and priests unto God. A royal robe is provided. Oh, Christ's righteousness. Have you had to praise him? Oh, maybe that's this evening your heart is in thanksgiving. I hope it is. Oh, I hope mine is. You know, thanking him for that blood that washes from every stain. Oh, removes every stain of sin. And that glorious robe that hides that hides our shame. Turn hither, ye who oft have tried by works salvation to obtain. See royal robes, your shame to hide, and blood that takes out every stain. Oh, you thank him for that. Oh, that you had the prospect this evening, a good hope through grace, a sure and certain hope, for it's founded on a rock, Christ Jesus. Oh, you thank him for that precious blood which did for sin atone. But you say, oh, what about my shame as having once been a sinner? How can I, a poor, once been a sinner, child of God, stand in heaven amongst the saints, amongst the angels who have never fallen, who have never sinned? How can I? Yes, wonderful. Oh, that blood has washed out every sin. There's not a stain left, but I've that shame. That shame as having once been a sinner, a royal priest. There's a royal robe that awaits. Oh, it's take away the filthy garments. It's bring forth that royal robe. And there, lest the shadow of a spot should on my soul be found, he took the robe the Saviour wrought and cast it all around. Oh, enveloped in his life, that life that he lived, that you and I cannot live, a life that none of his people could live. Oh, the Lord Jesus lived for his people and enveloped in it, clothed in it, wrapped in it at that great day. It's never yours, but imputed on you by the grace of God. Oh, you then stand. You stand holy and unblameable and unreprovable in the sight of God. And that's in the sight of God. In Christ Jesus, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Oh, that love, a royal robe, your shame to hide, and blood, oh, that takes away all stain, that washes free from every sin, that fountain opened for sin and for uncleanness, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, made perfect in Christ Jesus. Nothing left for them to do. Oh, they will do good works. Oh, they will, because it's that love of Christ in their heart, that debt of love, that gratitude in their hearts, as having felt the sense of forgiveness of sin despite their guilt and shame and unworthiness. It's that that drives the motivation behind these works. And like fruit, it appears on the branch, but in no way do they hide or shelter or rest in it. They're resting entirely on the finished work of Christ. It's give me Christ or else I die. A peculiar people. Titus speaks of this peculiar people, zealous of good works, and I'll just turn to the verse, chapter 2, who, verse 14, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Oh, this peculiar people, a people set apart, a people sanctified, a people brought out from amongst the world, one here, one there, a peculiar people with peculiar, particular, special blessings in that particular love of God. Oh, their way, their pathway is hedged around. You know, Job, we read in Job, Satan, he couldn't penetrate. Thou hast put a hedge about him. And Satan can do anything except the Lord permit, that permissive will of God. But you know, Job was always safe. Job was loved with an everlasting love. Though Job needed to learn lessons, needed to be taught, needed some dross to be removed, and don't we all? Yet, eternally safe, loved with an everlasting love. Oh, this special, peculiar, particular affection of God to his people. There is a general, there is a love to the world. We see it, don't we? But what do I mean? Well, we see the seed time, the harvest, God's care for his creation, and we see that love. The world don't see it, but we see it. Love to them, despite all the sin of this world, the Lord is faithful. Seed time and harvest, summer and winter, heat and cold, this continual supply of the needs of mankind here upon earth. Ah, but this chosen people, these people set apart, where upon whom he will shower particular blessings down and will give them grace. To the world, they're peculiar. They're peculiar in the way they live their lives. They're peculiar in the way they, maybe in the way they dress, in the way they behave. But to God, they're dearly loved. Oh, they're chosen. They're elect. They're precious to him. They're jewels of his crown. Oh, he's brought them with a price. He loves them dearly. He'll never give them up. He'll never part with them. Loved with an everlasting love. Oh, to be found one of them. You know, this evening there may be some here who say, well, I can't enter into these things. I'm not in this feeling in my heart. Here we are, another sermon for the Lord's dear children. Well, maybe it's like an arrow in your heart this evening. I can't dip that heart in love. Well, maybe the Lord will send it into your heart this evening in a way of conviction. Why am I not like them? Why am I not being dealt with like them? Why am I passing through things in my life and being unmoved and untouched? And why am I not hearing his voice in things? And why am I able to sit through the preaching of the gospel? It's the same word. It enters into someone else's ear. The Lord blesses it. Why is he not blessing it to me? Solomon, at the end of his that book, he said, the companions hearken unto thee. Cause me to hear it. The companions hearken unto thy voice. Cause me to hear it. Oh Lord, I've nothing in a way spiritually this evening to thank thee for. Oh, but may I know that song of redemption. May I have that song in my heart. May I be found one of these lively stones in this building. May I not die just looking on. You know, Balaam, in his language, spoke some of the most beautiful language in the Word of God. I'm thinking of things like this. Let me die the death of the righteous. Let mine end be like his. And yet, passed by, perished in his sins. Oh, he came out of his mouth, but it didn't come out of his heart. He spoke it under direction of God. And it wasn't prompting inwardly by the Spirit. Let me die the death of the righteous. Let mine end be like his. Oh, have you been at the deathbed of one of the Lord's dear children? From an honest heart, do you long for that? Oh, let mine end be like his. Oh, that I may shut my eyes on this life, that brought to the end of my days, if spared, if brought to a deathbed experience, oh, to die the death of the righteous, where there is no sting in that death, where it is that passage, the convoying of the soul, the conveying of it into everlasting glory in heaven. It is that passage whereby they pass through, Jesus Christ himself having gone on before this chosen generation. Oh, you long, do you, this evening for it? Is that it for you this evening? In your desire, you can't lay hold of it. You've got not those things whereby you may thank him for. Oh, but there's a want. Is there a want? Wonderful thing if there is. You know, the dead feel nothing. Dead souls feel nothing. Dead spiritually, I mean. There is no annihilation of the soul. But the dead feel nothing. The dead are unconcerned. The dead see no beauty in him. The dead hear nothing. And so, have you that to thank him for? You say, I can't thank him for much. Oh, but I thank him for this. Of an aching void the world can never fill. I'm trying to fill it. I'm seeking here. I'm seeking there. I'm trying to throw myself into my work. I'm trying to be busy. But I've got this aching void. I've got this prick in my heart. I've got this prick in my conscience. I feel I'm not right. I'm trying to shut it up. I can't quieten it. Oh, you'll thank him for it one day, if you can't this evening. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him. You know, there's an emphasis. Ye should show forth. Well, we're not going to speak of do this and do this, do that this evening. But, you know, there is something here for us. You know, maybe some of us are a little, spiritually, a little bit lukewarm. A little bit slothful. A little bit sleeping and slumbering, drifting along in our lives. Well, ye should show forth the praise of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvellous light. And what will stir up your heart this evening? Oh, it's a fresh token. It's a fresh evidence in your heart. Oh, it's the Lord to warm and kindle that flame. Oh, to bring you again to Calvary. To see mercy's streams in streams of blood. To show you again, give you that sense of unworthiness. And then, oh, the matchless condescension of Almighty God to bother to notice you, a poor unworthy sinner, to bother to deal with your life. And to quicken you, and there's that stirring up of your heart, and then Oh, you'll show forth his praise. That'll tune your heart this evening. That'll give you the voice to sing our closing hymn, that ye should show forth the praise of him who hath called you. You see, they're chosen and they're called. We can rest there, that those of us who labour in the ministry, you know, there's a resting place there for us this evening, isn't there? He's chosen, he'll call. Oh, he may use an instrument in the means of it, but it's his work. He's chosen, and he calls. He calls them, called you out of darkness into his marvellous light. The light and liberty of the gospel, the light of the Holy Spirit, which descended upon you and opened up the scriptures to you and showed you the Lord Jesus Christ, led you to Christ Jesus. It's Father, Son and Holy Ghost. It's the Blessed Trinity, the Lord Jesus. It takes those words of the Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit, with power, and says, and the Lord Jesus said it, the Father, for the Father himself loveth you. There, the Spirit takes the word of Jesus and shows you the fountain of love. For the Father himself loveth you. Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. With weeping and with supplications will I lead thee. Oh, there, the mark, one of the evidences of the child of God is not a path of ease. Oh, but quite opposite. It's through much tribulation. But they're brought into it and brought through it and brought out of it. This peculiar people who are under that special care, love and attention and of an almighty heavenly friend. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praise of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvellous light. Well, what a prospect for the people of God. What a thanksgiving service around the throne of God in heaven. From your heart this evening, do you thank him that the prospect of you, that your poor soul will be there around his throne, singing his praises forever and ever. What a thanksgiving service that will never end. Oh, do you long for it? Can you thank him for it this evening? Or do you say, let me be amongst those that can thank him for it? And may the Lord add his blessing. Amen.
Let us now sing together hymn number 171. The tune is Walton 430. Join all who love the Saviour's name to sing his everlasting fame. Great God, prepare each heart and voice in him forever to rejoice. Hymn 171.
Thank you.
Dear Lord, do forgive all that thy pure eyes have seen amiss in our worship this day. Do take us each home in peace and in safety. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father, and the fellowship and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.
Let us sing to the glory of God the last verse of hymn 220. The tune is Celeste, 736. This God is the God we adore, our faithful, unchangeable friend, whose love is as large as his power, and neither knows measure nor end. 'Tis Jesus, the first and the last, whose Spirit shall guide us safe home. We'll praise him for all that is past, and trust him for all that's to come. Thank you.